to our first Shack meeting. We're going to go over a few things first before we get into the topics where everyone can kind of chime in on their topic. But so first, if you haven't ever been involved with Shack, it's basically a group of parents and community members who assist the district in ensuring that the local community values are reflected in the health education instruction of our kids here at the school. It's required to have at least 50% parent participation, but we just do the best that we can. All the webinars that I've watched, they all have the same issues. So all we can do is advertise and encourage participation and kind of go from there. Y'all also have handouts if y'all want to look at those that are just slides to a PowerPoint that I made. So these are some of the new changes that were made to the Shack legislation effective August 1st. And the first one is House Bill 1525. So this requires that all Shack meetings must be posted 72 hours in advance in all campus offices. So we have done that. I've made the flyer that has all the dates and the times for the whole year. Hopefully we can stick to these, but if something comes up, I'll send out reminders on when we had to move those so that everybody's aware. We are now required to audio or video record all of our meetings and post those and the minutes to the website within 10 days of our meeting. And we also must hold 4 meetings a year, which as you can see by the flyer, we're meeting that requirement. There's new legislation that has to do with the adoption of sex ed curriculum. I'm not going to read all those points, so y'all can kind of look those over. And like I said, these went into effect 8/1, so a lot of the schools that I have watched webinars and stuff over, they are already in the process of doing this or completing this. So, but they also have one person that is their Shack coordinator who has time to do all this, so they are quite a bit and ahead of everyone. So we will just take this at our own pace. Like I said, this is very new to me, so I don't even know where we would start on something like this. So I'll be working with McCaslin and whoever else I need to see what we need to do and make sure we're meeting those. Also, the next one is Senate Bill 9. It requires that public schools provide instruction relating to the prevention of dating violence, child abuse, and family violence. Again, we're required to notify parents of what curriculum and resources we use. And instead of an opt-out, we now have to have an opt-in. So they have changed that from the past. And it must be offered at least once in middle school. And then the last one is just changes to the TEKS. I don't really know anything about TEKS, so PE and health education TEKS were adjusted effective 8/1. So we'll go into the 8 components, and my first one is health instruction. So Coach Bielitz, do you have anything in there?
We have our new curriculum, our new books. I've been going through and just kind of seeing what it talks about in different things that might be questionable and making notes that I'll go with over with Coach Huseman and see, you know, how to discuss certain things, how to not discuss certain things. And then the CPR training will be done. It's a bystander training done. It'll be done in the second semester for junior high and what is it, high school juniors or sophomores?
Most of them already have it, but there's some now some seniors that
they'll come over and do it. So if they didn't get it in eighth grade, I guess they get it before they graduate. So we'll do that at the end of the year.
No one is here from maintenance, so I'll just go over.
I'll take care of that.
Oh, okay.
we have drills scheduled. We've performed several drills. After every drill, there's a admin meeting, a post-action review, just to look at what went well, what could have gone better. Part of our safety procedures are using a new app to make announcements to teachers, law enforcement, staff and visitors, as well as subs, wear a lanyard with a school badge to make sure that every adult in the building is identified, and adults that don't have those are escorted to the office to fix that problem. And all visitors are checked with an ID. Their driver's license is run through the Raptor system whenever before they can enter the building, just to make sure that people that are here are okay to be here.
And then as far as health services, pretty much since school has started, I have been working on getting students caught up to date on immunizations. We started off with around 35. We are down to 8. Six of those are 7th graders, and they have until the end of this week. If they don't have them Monday, then they cannot come to school until they have those up to date. And they've all been notified. Parents have been notified. To kind of stay on top of this, for the next school years, we will have a health department come at registration and administer vaccines to those who need them, and there will be no grace period. So if they don't have them first day of school, they can't attend. So I know it's also hard to enforce that in the middle of school because we don't need them missing, but if you don't, then they will just never get them. So only those who will be provisionally enrolled will be allowed, and that just means like they're on schedule for what is medically feasible to that schedule. I've been doing vision and hearing screenings on K through 5. I'm almost done with those, and then I'll start with pre-K because that's going to take me a little bit longer, and then we'll do 7th when a good time is, sometime during their athletic period. Scoliosis screens will start after Thanksgiving, and then something that's exciting for me, we got a new audiometer which helps me do my hearing screenings. But I didn't know how to work it, and it erased all my data from my screening. So I'm kind of having to start over on some of those. Physical education.
As far as fitness gram goes, we'll probably start that 1st November, okay. Just due to the amount of kiddos we have to get them all finished before Christmas. So.
Okay, perfect.
We're dealing with a little bit of a student.
Okay, sure. So we have Red Ribbon Week coming up the last week of October. We've gotten together and planned dress-up days. Adrienne Stanach has the days, and she said that should come out today just so people can know ahead of time, especially like our parents like to know way ahead of time on that. We have different activities planned throughout the week. There's a speaker. You want to talk more about the speaker? Who and what?
I'm not sure on the name, but we do have somebody coming that Ms. Marmalejo found that's going to kind of come and address vaping. High school, along with 8th grade, is going to have one session in the morning, and then 5th grade through 7th grade is going to have one in the afternoon to kind of discuss about vaping and the cautions.
Yes.
And then we're also bringing a speaker on Monday, the nurses, to speak about fentanyl and some of the dangers of that. They do a presentation. Good. For the high school, and that one's a little more probably advanced. Mm-hmm.
Is this yes. Next week or the week after?
No, this 24th through 28th is the week of Red Ribbon.
The 26th is when the vaping presentation is going to be.
And it's a state trooper that I know that's coming in.
That'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be good. Need to, that's scary stuff. And then we have a counseling grant. It's the Lamb Castro Swisher Counseling Initiative that we can use to refer kids. We had it last year, we have it this year, and it's been a lot of help. So all campuses can refer kids that need some extra counseling there. And also we have CATER. I haven't used that, but more Aaron uses it quite a bit, I think, also for high school kids and stuff. And it's another referral process that you can get kids into. And they also have a lot of informative webinars and things like that through Texas Tech. So we have a lot of resources at our hands to use, which is nice.
One thing I forgot to add, we did get vouchers from the National Association of School Nurses for any student who has issues getting eyeglasses.
Oh, good.
So I have vouchers in my office. There are some requirements for them to meet, but usually those who are in that position will meet those requirements.
Is it still doctor. That we go to Webb?
Yes.
In Plainview? I've taken
yes.
several kids over the years.
Yeah. Sure, yes.
Good. That'll be good.
Yeah. But I have 25 and they're sending me 25 more, so we should have plenty.
Wow. That's good.
For the year, if y'all know of anyone that needs help, and the counselors are aware of that as well. Mm-hmm. Food service. I'll kind of speak on that. All of our students are still eligible to receive free breakfast and lunch. So They go through the line, and then we started a table for any unopened or uneaten items. And then I know over here Ms. Lassiter has a cart at the end of the day where they can go by and get an apple or a juice or whatever is left from that table and take it home to give them a little extra snack. So I think that's been going really well, and it's helped cut down waste also.
Yeah. And we have at the high school classroom with that's open with a fridge in there. With the juices and everything, where they can, we have a lot of kids go there all day just to get extra food.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And the school site health promotion. So at the beginning of the year, we updated COVID-19 procedures according to the CDC and TEA. We haven't seen a lot of COVID since that first or second week of school, but the policy is the 5-day policy. So the day that they test positive is day zero, and then they have 5 days that they have to stay home as long as symptoms and fever are resolving. Siblings don't have to stay home, but we monitor them for symptoms, and that's kind of what we're going off right now. I do have tests available in my office to use if suspected or requested by a parent. I've also started a monthly health newsletter to put around on campuses just to give healthy tips to the students and faculty and to promote wellness. We had our flu shot clinic yesterday, and that went really well.
How many did the
flu shot? I haven't talked to her yet, but if I were guessing, probably close to 25 or 30. We had them coming in all the way up until 9:30. And then our NHS also had a blood drive on the 4th, and I know that all the spots that they had put out were full, so that's awesome. Involvement with parents in the community. I kind of took this off of an agenda last year, but I know ABC has been helping with volleyball concession stands. Mm-hmm. They helped with book fair, snack pack for kids. Mm-hmm. They're involved with hometown Christmas, breakfast with Santa, play days, all of those things. So our ABC is doing an awesome job this year. Mm-hmm. And then we have snack pack for kids. Lassiter, I know y'all had a
And we have 34 bags that we're packing currently, which is quite a bit less than we normally have. But I've told the counselors, if anybody at high school or junior high you think could use that and they have a younger sibling, let us know. It has to come through the elementary with the elementary kids, but just let us know, because I know that there's some people out there we're missing. But anyway, packing's gone good, and we've gotten our shipments in, and I don't know what our amount is right now that we have in the...
Ben would know that.
Yeah, he would know that. But but we have a pretty good balance right now, I think, because we got some donations at the end of the year. So we're good with that.
Does anybody have anything else? Okay, so our next meeting right now is scheduled for December 14th. It'll be here at the same time, and I'll keep reaching out to people to hopefully boost some participation. But thank you all for being here.
Thank you, ma'am.